Well, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. Good to see everybody. Good to see everybody out there online too. And we're going to sing a few songs and glad that you're all here. And welcome to Sunday morning. It's a beautiful day out there in Houston and Pearland. And I think tomorrow we're going to get some coolness maybe, but maybe some rain today. So let's just sing some stuff and then we're going to get into some good scripture. I really think we have a good one going. Well, let's tap your foot a little bit.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be, and the morning breaks eternal light and fair, when the sailors gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Let us labor all. Oh, you tired of labor? We need to labor for the Lord.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all its wonders, love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder.
not too many donut holes this morning. It's full right about up to here. God lives. Jesus lives. And that gives us hope. And no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on with politics, stock market, your office, business, there's always hope. Why? Because he's still alive. He's still alive. I love to tell the story of amazing things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the the ushers come forward. Here we had a couple other people come in while we were. Hey, Bernice and Jerry, how you doing back there? Good seeing you. Good. Yes, we are. Hello, Philip. Is it hot in here or my fan? Okay.
He's just been rocking and rolling, that's all.
Philip, I just may shorten the sermon, but come right up here, if you would, so everybody in the world can see you. You're short, so you'd be able to be on there. Now lead us in a word of prayer, would you please?
The scripture says in Luke 6:38-39, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, shaken together, running over, shall the Lord give into shall men give into your bosom. Father, we thank you that we have a privilege to come here and to serve you. Now let us be responsible because of that privilege, Father, that we can give what you have placed in our heart and that we can be a cheerful giver, as 2 Corinthians 9:22 says, for you love a cheerful giver. And we thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters, not just here in the sanctuary, but all over the world. And we praise God for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you in the ministries that they go to. The Texas Ministries offering is at the front table if you want to get involved in that and the prayer booklet that comes with that. Thank you. praise him now.
Jesus, we just want to praise you. Sometimes we sing this stuff and we never put our minds into the words of what it's all about. Okay. Good to see everybody this morning. Get your Bibles. They ought to automatically open to the book of Jonah. I can just throw you most of you to a conniption right go and just so in review, chapter one, and I won't do that because that was just you say, oh, no, we're going back to chapter one. But it would be kind of neat if you put in the sideline by chapter one that we found out that Jonah was rebelling and running from God. You remember? Okay. This is where I want you to go. We showed you on the map where they wanted him to go. And he went the opposite way. He went to the other end of the world. And then we saw in chapter two that after the last verse in chapter one where the fish was created and ordained by God to give Jonah a life lesson, that Jonah immediately, when he got to the bottom of the ocean, repented and returned to God. So chapter two, you can put repent and return to God. So you got rebelling and running from God. Chapter two, repent and return to God. In chapter three, you can put restarting and running with God. So we're in chapter three, verse one. If you're all there, say, oh, yeah. I'll let you all get there. Because Jonah sometimes is not an easy book to find. It's kind of stuck in there. Make sure you're all there. And I love how whoever came up with, we'll let Jack teach on this, or Philip, or Philip and Monica, or Philip and Becky, or somebody that's smarter than me, to how they came up with these chapters. But it's just kind of neat how each chapter tells a part of his story. Okay, so did we not leave? Let's looking about chapter two. Did we not leave where puke was involved in God's word? Because the fish vomited him out. So, okay, I'm done. And he vomited him out. Okay, without looking at your Bibles, where did God puke him out at? Where did this fish vomit Jonah out at? Well, okay. Now, see, that would not have worked on Jeopardy. You would not have won that because dry land is not. Be more specific, please. What location? Oh, this is good. For 500 points, double Jeopardy here. But we're gonna find out. Okay. Now, I want you to see something because I think this is very important. Because I think there's people now. Everybody's looking like, okay, where was it? Where was it?
It was on the beach. Thank you, Carol. 3 days from Nineveh. Okay. We're going to get a specific place here. Everybody needs what we're going to talk about today. Okay? I want you to see verse 1. If you're there, if you found it by now, say, oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you believe in writing in your Bibles, this is a portion that I want you just to circle. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Circle, second time. Okay? You got to make the pen work here. Circle, second time. Everybody in this place today needs a second time. Okay? This is what is so powerful about this story. Every one of us that have been in alive have done exactly what Jonah has done in chapter 1. Rebel and run. We've all been to that point of, oh, Lord, I have no place else to go but to look up to you now because I'm at the bottom. And some people need to hit the bottom. If you have somebody that you are enabling and you just keep on enabling them, sometimes back up, let them crash, but be there to help them back, okay? Sometimes we have to let them get to the point, I need something else because what I'm doing now is not working, okay? But then I love this in chapter 3 because if I was God and if I created the fish, I would have eaten Jonah and then eventually went and swallowed him and let him become bile on the beach shore a couple weeks later. I would have just let him go. That's it. He's done. But God says, okay, no, let's puke him up. Let's vomit him up. Put him on the beach near Joppa. Up there it is. Sorry, let you out. Near Joppa. And then the word came to him again. Again. We need those second chances. And I love in God's word how we get second chances. Jacob cheated on his brother. Yeah. Cheated him out of the family inheritance. Anybody can relate to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Me too. But he gave him a second chance, did he not? Moses murdered a man. Did God give him a second chance? Absolutely. And I'm just getting started, so hang on to your seatbelts. Rahab was a prostitute. Did God give her a second chance? Absolutely. Her name appears in the lineage of Jesus Christ in the Christmas story. Are you kidding? Absolutely. We got a cheater, manipulator. We got a murderer. We got a prostitute. Samson was talented and he ended up in prison and God gave him a second chance. David committed adultery and God gave him a second chance. Even had an affair with, had the husband murdered. Peter. Absolutely. Peter denied Jesus. Bold face at the most crucial point in history. And God gave him a second chance. Paul was out there stoning, killing Baptists day after day because of their belief in Christianity. He was throwing stones, handing them to him. I'll hold your cloak. Will you guys kill him or whatever? He was involved in it. God gave him a second chance and let him write majority of the New Testament. Zacchaeus was the most contrary, dishonest businessman alive. And God gave him a second chance. So no matter where you're at, from the prostitution to just you do business a little dirty, from murder to where you just hate people, to prostitute to just where your pride gets in the way sometimes. Wives, you beat your husband, but just not too much, just when they deserve it. God will give you a second chance. And everybody out there needs to hear that too. That God is not only a God of second chances, but of third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. When you get out there in the golfing world and you know they have a thing called mulligan. You ever played with somebody that likes to have a mulligan on every hole? You're only supposed to be allowed once, and that's if you're not in the tournament, right, Sam? Yeah. And every now and then you say, oh, we're going to do a mulligan. That's usually after you shake it off into the trees. We're all for a mulligan, huh? Yeah, well, yeah. But some, every shot they wanted. But God is a God of second chances. If we get nothing out of the rest of the 25 minutes, I want you to get that. That day, the word of God came to Jonah again. So I want you to catch that. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, a man who refuses, Proverbs 28:13, hang in to Jonah, write it down. Proverbs 28:13, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses them, if he forsakes them, he gets another chance. So no matter where you're at right now, this may be the day that you just need a mulligan in life. You just need another chance. You came to the right place. God has a history of doing that. And he does it with Jonah in such a beautiful way. But I want you to see something. Because there's four or five things that Jonah does when he gets this extra opportunity. Obviously, he went on a cruise that none of us will ever get to go on inside this fish. But he went on this cruise, got an attitude adjustment. Anybody need an attitude adjustment? You ever have kids need an attitude adjustment? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But then us parents, we don't need that. No, just the children. I need an attitude adjustment every now and then. Lamentations 3:22-23 goes like this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. There's never an ending to that. He always loves you, no matter what condition you're in right now. I don't know what y'all did last night. He does, and he still loves you. If it was the worst possible thing, just on those list of examples we had, he loves you. And the rest of that verse goes like this. It is his mercy that has kept us from complete destruction. That's the only reason we have hope. That's the only reason we are breathing right now, is because of his undying love and mercy and grace. His faithfulness is great, and his mercies begin afresh. When? Every new day. Not every year. Not just on January 1st. Every day, God says, I have another way to love you and forgive you and bring you back. Even if you despise me, even no matter, I don't want to go back through that list again. But I think this is really important. Do you have a kid that you just don't know what you're going to do with? And we all had that in our lives. And the day that you say, oh, no, not my children. Well, congratulations, the phone's going to ring. I just want to let you know. Go ahead and have the pride. But God will cut you off at the knees because you will get that phone call. Never say never. It will happen. And Philip's looking over to his daughter and said, okay, when is this going to happen? Hang on to your... But it will. But God gives them second chances too. Why shouldn't you? I'm preaching to myself here with my own family, my own brother. Why don't you? He gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Matter of fact, 9:30 this morning, I don't think it was around 9:25. No one was here. Zero. And I'm thinking, Okay. Well, they've all wised up. They're over somebody's house having a vote and getting ready to come tell me, Greg, you're gone. And then finally y'all started showing up. Like, okay, well, I still have the preaching for a while. So. And you know, that's what makes our church special. Not that you vote to preach, to fire me. That we love each other no matter what you've done. Well, my story, the whole world knows my stories. And you still put up with me? But I still put up with you all too. Because that's the kind of God that we have. And God gave the word to Jonah again. So write this down somewhere. Every new day, God gives us another chance. So when I get that extra chance, what am I supposed to do with it? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Because we're going to see what Jonah does with that extra chance. The first thing I want us to understand, when God gives you an extra opportunity, enough grace and mercy to say, okay, come on back. Jonah was grateful. He gave thanks. Psalm 92, 1 and 2 says, it's a good day to say thank you to the Lord and to sing praises to him. Every morning tell him thank you for your kindness. Do we need to sing the song again? Jesus, I just want to thank you. Could you not find a reason to let your gut and your heart get into that? Maybe we can now. Maybe we can now. Because he's given us another opportunity this morning. And the neat thing about it is, when you get right back with God, it's not like get into a cold creek where you put your little toe in and then you start easing in. To get right back with God, you get up on the cliff and you dive in the middle and plunge into him, and you get immediately right back into his will. Immediately. He doesn't sit down and do like what we do as parents. Okay, I'll give you this one more chance. And if you don't, I will never give you another. He doesn't threaten. And the neat thing about him, he doesn't remind me every time I fail. He doesn't send me a postcard or emails or texts and say, okay, great job this week, but boy, you really screwed it up last week. He forgets that stuff. And scripture tells us that he throws it from one end to the other. We can't find where he can find it. You know, and I love that he may keep track of it. When we ask for forgiveness, he throws it all away, that list. There's not a carbon copy left anywhere. There's not even an imprint on the page underneath where you can kind of do the pencil on top of it and let the words come through. It's gone. We are clean, new. Absolutely new. And that's something worth giving God praise for. Praise for. Two. I got a couple more verses. You may just want to write them down. Psalm 50:23. The people who honor me are those who bring me an offering. I save those who obey me. Romans 6:13, give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from death, and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. So when I get that second chance, when I get that mulligan in life, when I get that extra opportunity, I need to be grateful for it. And the second thing I want you to see, this is really important. Does Jonah's mission change? No. Neither were yours. When you return back to God, you go, okay, dust you off, you look pretty good, Greg. Now, do what I told you to begin with. Did the running help you? How'd that work out for you? Do Well, I told you. After I've got that, it's not the time to keep doing stuff wrong. And we got to get this somewhere in our life. Each and every person in this place has a mission, a priority, a destiny that is designed just for you. And until you fall into that, you're running from him to some certain degree. So you got to get into that mode to where God says, okay, be thankful that I brought you back. I've kept you alive through all this craziness. Be thankful for that. Now get back to my A game, my A plan. God doesn't have plan B or C for me. We do. I know Luann does when it comes to school. You have to have plan D, E, and F. What happens if this? If this happens, what happens? If this happens, what happens? But what happens if this gets blown away in the hurricane in the back? Now what do? And we have all these different game plans, but God says, with you, I have one. I have one. And I have one thing that you've been designed and created to do. So when you come back to him, he's going to remind you, okay, now, you ready to do what I want you to do? Or are you still going to be acting goofy? You're still going to be running away from me. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, do not let the grace that you receive from God be for nothing. So Jonah, back to Jonah 3:1-2. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah again. There's a second chance. And he says, go to that great city, Nineveh, and warn them of their doom. Then he throws this in, just as I told you. That was the mission before the cruise liner came in. That was the mission at chapter 1. Jonah, that's what I want you to do. Go. And remember, he ran the other way. So he repeats the mission to him again. So I want you to write this down. Circumstances may change in your life, but no matter what, your mission never does. You may have an issue with it was going to be you and your husband or you and your wife, your spouse, and you was going to get this awesome ministry together, and you was going to do it for the rest of your life, just loving God and bringing people in, say, come on in, and just have so much stuff. And then something happens, and it's this way, and you're on your own, and you go, I'm not doing anything with God anymore. No, the mission didn't change. The circumstances did. That was all. And folks, I have to tell myself that every single day of my life. Greg, your calling hasn't changed. Your circumstances sure have. Everything around you sure has. But your calling hasn't. I'm still there. I still want you to do what you need to do. And that's so important to be able to see that. In Romans 11:29, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. What's that word mean? You know what that means. You can't change it. So you have tickets to the greatest concert in the world, and it costs you $200 to see them. And then you find out COVID postponed it for a couple months. They said, we'll still honor those tickets. But then they postponed it and rescheduled on a day that you've already had a commitment. You got to be out of town. So I go up to Robert and say, Robert, tell you what, I'll sell you my ticket. And then you look on there and says, nope, it's not irrevocable. It's not transferable. This is yours, baby. It's all or nothing. Finish out the verse. Romans 11:29. God's gift and his call are irrevocable. No sin you commit can change God's call or God's gifts in your life. No matter how many mulligans I need, No matter how many times I run away from God, no matter what kind of things I did on that list at the beginning, nothing changes my calling. Sin can't do it. Because at that point, he would say, oh, you did do one sin that I cannot forgive. So you are no longer qualified to do this anymore. God never says that. Matter of fact, did Jesus not just do the opposite? When Jesus was saying, hey, I need a dozen pretty good guys, he went to some of the scoundrels. I don't think that if I was looking for 12 good guys, I would go to the IRS department and knock on the door and say, I need a tax collector. You got one? I don't think I would have done that. I don't think I would go down to the Galveston and find some people that's coming in with all kinds of fish smell on them. God did that to show that we were all. And he says, I can change the world with these. Because he was looking for real people and authentic people. And I love that. God never changes, because there's another version of that scripture. God never changes his mind when it comes to give someone gifts or when he calls somebody. So it is still in full force. I love that. I'm losing some of you. Take a drink. Go get a donut. But just letting you know, I probably would have struck you with lightning, but God will give you another chance. Number three. You won't like this one. Don't delay. Just obey. We've talked about this. I've used this example several times. But it's a good example. So you have a child that has one duty in the house. All they have to do. And they can even do this by watching their crazy phone. And you say, I'll use Curtis. He's in Illinois. He's at his grandfather's funeral. He's up there doing that memorial service in there with him. So I just use Curtis as an example. I say, hey, Curtis, take the trash out. And he goes and sits down. And still doing this. Can anybody relate to this? So, you know, we do it a little bit different. Curtis. And if you really want to get their attention, Curtis Sterling is middle name. When I hear Gregory Allen, my navel goes, what's going on? Because I know it's getting ready to happen. Take the trash out. He's watching and just laughing, YouTube video on cats or something. And then finally you keep screaming and pestering and poking and then he finally goes, okay, picks it up, stops through the house, there, and throws it down, but doesn't take it out to the dumpster. Just moves it from the kitchen to the living room door. Is that obedience? No. I'm not asking you to do it just to move it from one place to another. You need to do it now, and you better do it with the right attitude. Because if you don't, you're still in trouble. I'm still going to disconnect your phone. You know a phone, just for all the people out there, you know a phone is a privilege, not a right to children. Yeah. It's time that we become parents and not their best friends. I've said that more than once. It is a privilege, not a right. And when it becomes the communication between you or them and this, I would get rid of that. So they'll start doing this again. That's so important. And that had nothing to do with the sermon. But take that down. That ought to be in Scripture someplace. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Some of us, some of you, some out here, have put it off and put it off. And you have it on your to-do list. And he's told you, as clearly as I just used that example, Curtis, do this. He's told you. And all the things in your life are keeping you from doing that. Whether you get to it later or not, you're in disobedience right now. And that's what Jonah found out. This time he gets a second message. Go and do what I told you to do in the first place. Proverbs 6, 3 and 4. Get out of it as quickly as you possibly can. Swallow your pride. Go and humbly beg to cancel the deal. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. That's from the book of Proverbs. It's about a business transaction that just wasn't too bright. Get out of that right now. And do it right now. So basically we're being told, don't procrastinate. Don't put it off anymore. A couple more. Number four, we need to accept our responsibility in the mission to be able to tell other people and warn them what's going on. Folks, if we can't get a hold of what's happening in our world, and if that doesn't put fuel on your fire to want to go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ, your wick has been cut way too short, and you need to get a new love and passion for the Lord. This is a perfect opportunity. You not realize the harvest is out there. The laborers are few. We're waiting. They're waiting. Do you not understand what the world's doing to our people? Franklin Graham, there's all of these people trying to keep him off of whatever he's trying to do with Samaritan Purse, which is probably one of the most honest ministries that have ever been created. And just an awesome, we're involved in that every year at Christmas, right? We put a little shoebox thing and give it to Samaritan's Purse. Now there's hundreds of thousands of people that are signing petitions because he supports a political person or political party. He has no right now to be in business. What? You're telling us that we have to accept you in what you wear. We have to accept you in what you believe. But now you're telling us that if we believe in Jesus Christ or we believe in a person's stance on abortion or anti-abortion or pro-abortion or wherever you're at with that or whatever stance it is, that I'm not eligible anymore to be a CEO of a nonprofit organization? Are you kidding me? Aren't you talking out of both sides of your mouth? Absolutely you are. Ding, ding, ding. You win that prize. But that's what the world is doing to us. That's what they're trying to get it all about. Every time we stub our toe, you're out. You're out. Now, there's times, and I don't want to mention Jerry Falwell Jr., but there's times. Oh, did I say it? I was thinking it, but I don't know if I actually said it. That you have to go, whoa, whoa, Nelly, you crossed it. But there's times that we need to go and show grace and mercy and love in the right environment, the right structure, the right correction, and love them back. And the world is needing somebody that has that kind of love. The world is looking for something right now, and we have that opportunity to go out and warn people. Because, folks, if we have never been to the point of where we said the end is near, you're never going to get closer than what it is right now. The end is near. You not see it? It's right there. It's right there. And we need to warn the people. Now's the time to pretty well get your house in order and love them through that. Not one thing is going to be solved in our society if we keep burning down places, rioting, fighting, blocking, protesting. The only thing that will ever change this world is love and acceptance. And saying, you made a mistake, but I love you anyway. Come in. And I want this to be the place where no matter what mistake they made out in the parking lot or this weekend, they are welcomed in this body of believers. Because we all need a Savior. And we need to go out and warn people. And that's what Jonah does. He accepted his responsibility to warn people. Verse 3, Jonah immediately, notice what he did? Immediately. He didn't hesitate anymore. What do you think the next fish would be like? It won't be just a great fish. It'd be a piranha. And he's going to take you in a piece at a time. Immediately. Jonah headed to Nineveh in obedience to the word of the Lord. Now the city of Nineveh was so big that it took 3 days to walk around it. But after walking a day, Jonah warned the people. I have a lot of stuff on that. I have 3 pages on that verse, but I know where we're at. We got to wind down. But he got back to action. We need to get off our backsides and get back up on our feet and start warning people and doing it. And the strange thing is, and the next week, just wait. It's amazing. So Jonah warned the people that in 40 days, Nineveh was going to be destroyed. Number 5, and we're going to stop there. When we get that extra opportunity, and if you do it today, expect God to use you. Expect God to have you as a vessel for Him. He didn't give you the opportunity just to have your good looks around, just your great personality. He didn't give you the opportunity just because He needs you. He gave you the opportunity. We need Him. Because we have a mission that we need to do for Him, with Him, but it ends up benefiting us. Look at the rest of this chapter now. Jonah 3, 5 through 10. Just warned them. Verse 4. Going to be destroyed. Repent. The Ninevites believed God and they humbled themselves, putting on sackcloth. Burlap. I always think of the old brown potato sacks type thing. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least as a symbol of their humility. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with burlap, sackcloth, and even the king sat down in the dust. Then the king proclaimed a public fast. He said, no humans or animals to eat or drink anything. Let each of us, even our animals, be covered with sackcloth. I don't know how that did with that, but we're going to cover the animals with sackcloth too. Then let us all pray urgently to God and let us turn from our evil ways and let us stop all our violence. I tell you what, Walmart needs to put burlap on sale right now because our country needs to put it in and sit in the dust for a while and repent. We got to do that. Then let us pray urgently to God. Let us turn from our evil ways. Let us stop all the violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion and turn from His fierce anger so that we will not perish. Doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that if we want national revival, those verses hold it in there. Humble themselves, fasted, prayed earnestly, urgently, turned from evil and the bad things they were doing, and they stopped all the violence. Those five things is the five keys to have national revival in our place. It's right there. And Jonah was part of that. And we need to warn people of that too. In Hebrews chapter 3, as we close, it says, warn each other every day, because it's still called today, so that your heart isn't hardened against God by the sin's deceit. We will share in all that belongs to Christ if we hold firmly until the end. So if you hear God's voice today, listen and don't be stubborn. That's the five things. Been given a second chance? Do you need a second chance? Then you're at the right place. You can come to God and receive it. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then, if you need a second chance, we'll give you the opportunity to come up and have a seat. We'll just stand up here. If you're online, I want them to know I want to hear from them. This goes all around the world right now. There's people in New Zealand watching this right now. If you need a second chance and you make the commitment, let us know. We want to get with you and connect with you and give you some scriptures, send you some stuff or whatever, but we want to let you know. Dear Lord, we just want to come right now and thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, we all have received it, but Lord, some of us may be in a place right now where we need that second chance. That third, fourth, fifth, 12th. Lord, thank you for being so merciful, so loving, so kind. Lord, let the Holy Spirit just nudge us right now. Convict us that today is the day of receiving your love, your mercy, and the second chance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's really thank him. Jesus, we just want to thank you. This morning, and if there's anybody that has anything they want to talk about, pray about, you're welcome to do that. Just come on up after church and we'll take care of it. God bless. Have an awesome week. Consider yourself dismissed. Thank you for joining us right here on Faith Springs Live. We'll see you next week at 10 o'clock Central Time. God bless you. Have a great day.